In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a history buff, or an outdoor enthusiast, you'll find what you're looking for. You can explore the grounds of America's first English settlement in Jamestown, or shop along the quaint streets of historic Williamsburg and Yorktown. You can dig into the forensics of the country's earliest settlers or experience a day in the life of one. Each day and each trip is uniquely yours. So plan your visit to Williamsburg today. Robert Half research indicates that 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Their specialized recruiting professionals engage with their proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. It really is almost everything.
Infrastructure is just about everything that makes civilization physically possible. Roads, bridges, water supply, sewage removal, dams, and so forth. The physical part of civilization is the infrastructure.
That's Henry Petroski.
Well, my name is Henry Petroski. I'm a professor of civil engineering and history at Duke University.
He's written a number of books about catastrophic failures in engineering, and also one about the history of the toothpick. So he's one of us. His most recent book is all about infrastructure.
The name of the book is The Road Taken, The History and Future of America's Infrastructure.
A couple weeks ago, I interviewed Dr. Petroski about his book and the state of infrastructure in the U.S. The first of many things that I learned that shocked me was that the word infrastructure itself is actually kind of new to English.
What we call infrastructure today used to be called public works, and in America, public works was probably a familiar term up until the 1980s. But public works became a term closely associated with what was called pork barrel, which was also considered a rather pejorative term because it had to do with building things that were considered unnecessary or wasteful.
Pork barrel is government spending pushed forward by a congressperson to solely benefit the people in their home district.
It was associated with politics that was tit for tat. You vote for my pork, I'll vote for yours.
But the connection between public works and government corruption got even worse than trading votes. It reached its peak in 1973.
There was a major scandal that one of our vice presidents of the United States had to resign, Spiro Agnew, because he basically was taking money for road contracts in his home state of Maryland.
So in the 1980s, when shrinking government was becoming all the rage and pork barrel and earmarks were our biggest enemy, after the Soviets, of course, the term public works fell out of fashion. So
infrastructure became a term that replaced public works generally.
But the term was still so new that in the 1980s, the Wall Street Journal put infrastructure within quotation marks. Since infrastructure is the physical part of civilization, it's hard to generalize which government body or private party is responsible for each individual part of it. So in our conversation, we tended to focus on the big one.
Well, let's take roads.
We tend to think of roads, especially highways, as one of the wonderful things that the federal government does. Well, that's pretty much wrong.
Roads today in the United States are largely the responsibility of municipalities and states. One of the reasons that it's complicated like this is that the federal government is not authorized by the Constitution to build roads or bridges or even fixing them up by itself. It has to go through the states.
Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution states that the federal government can build post roads, meaning routes for the post office to operate effectively, but no other kinds of roads are specified. In fact, in 1817, when a bill was passed by Congress that approved the funding of internal improvements in the country, like roads and canals, it was vetoed by then-President James Madison because he felt it was unconstitutional. And he should know because he wrote the Constitution.
The federal government can give awards to the states, it can give grants to the states or municipalities, but it can't do it itself.
But what the feds can do is put a tax on gasoline to raise money for roads, which they then give to the states and cities. This has been the case since the Revenue Act of 1932, which was passed by Herbert Hoover, which raised taxes on pretty much everything.
Presently, it's 18.4 cents per gallon. And that gives the federal government about $30 billion a year to distribute to the states. And that distribution, the federal government exercises some control and enables it to provide some standardization to the roads, which I consider a good thing.
Me too. Because you don't really want to drive from one state to another and find that the roads are completely different.
It was the federal government that brought all the states into unification with the colors of the lines on the roads.
Yellow lines divide traffic going different ways. White dashes divide lanes going the same way.
The federal government making the money contingent on following a standards is what made that happen.
But the $30 billion Federal Highway Trust Fund, which is fed by the national gasoline tax, isn't keeping up with our current needs.
One easy solution, of course, would be to increase the gasoline tax. It hasn't been increased since 1993, which is quite a while.
Because the federal gas tax has been so stagnant, the states take it upon themselves to levy their own state gas taxes and fund their road projects that way. Increasing the federal gas tax is not popular, so politicians have trouble doing it. But even if they could, it isn't a great solution.
Obviously, if you're going to depend upon a tax on gasoline per gallon for replenishing the fund, then you have to project how many gallons of gasoline are going to be used and whether that volume of consumption is going to be steady or increase. And generally, we expect things like that to increase with time.
Right now, people are driving more electric and hybrid vehicles than ever before. They still use the roads, but they spend less money at the gas pump. So Prius owners may be saving the environment, but they are mooching off our roads. It is so hard to do the right thing. So now there's a notion to separate the collecting of taxes needed to maintain the road from the consumption of gasoline.
Instead of taxing the fuel that's used, you tax the mileage that the vehicle travels on state roads, regardless of whether it uses fuel or not. And this can be done in a variety of ways. At present, there are a number of pilot programs that are trying this out.
There are pilot programs that involve self-reporting the number of miles you drive, but the obvious solution is to have a GPS-based tracking device inside each car. And we'll see if that goes anywhere. Because if you're someone who gets freaked out about the constitutionality of the federal government building roads, I'm going to guess that you're not going to be too keen on the federal government installing a tracking device in your car to see how many miles you drive.
I suspect it will take at least a decade to replace the gas tax entirely. But it will probably come.
Infrastructure is all about choices. When a new bridge is proposed, there are countless discussions about whether the bridge should be purely functional and therefore presumably cheaper, or if it should be a signature piece of architecture that attracts international attention. There are cases to be made on either side. I'm a signature man myself. But even mundane features like roads involve choices that reverberate for decades. Most roads today that aren't interstate roads are made of asphalt.
One of asphalt's advantages, of course, is that it's seamless.
There is a real pleasure in driving on a new, smooth, black asphalt road. Plus, asphalt can be laid down quickly, it's relatively cheap, and it's easy to patch and repair. The downside is, it's not especially durable. You actually have to patch and repair it quite a lot. Alternatively, you can build a much more durable concrete road, but concrete doesn't offer that smooth, seamless ride that asphalt does, because physics.
With concrete, we need what are so-called expansion joints, what appear to be cracks, but what are really deliberate lines cut into the concrete to allow it to crack in a controlled way.
The cracks are there so that the road doesn't break into pieces when the concrete contracts and expands due to big fluctuations in temperature.
But the tires of a vehicle going over them make a noise and the vehicle feels it.
When you're driving on a concrete road, it sounds like da-dun, da-dun, da-dun.
And the ride is not as smooth or as quiet as it can be on well-laid asphalt.
In addition, concrete roads are more expensive, they're more expensive to repair, and they take longer. But they aren't as prone to potholes and can last a lot longer than asphalt roads. So decisions have to be made, Do we go with the cheaper, quicker, easier method and save money now? Or go with the more expensive, slower, and less pleasing method and hope to save money on repairs and replacement costs over time?
Since so many of these decisions are made in a political context by people who know that they are going to probably move on before the repaving has to be done, we'll generally opt for the lesser expensive choice, which means asphalt. Asphalt is simply cheaper than concrete. And therein is one of the main reasons that we have so much asphalt in this country.
But there is a more radical choice. In Montpelier, Vermont, there is a road called Bliss Road, which was in a terrible state of disrepair for many years, until finally, in 2009, the city decided just to unpave the road, turn it into a dirt and gravel road. And since then, 27 states have also unpaved some of their roads for the same reason. I wondered if this was a clever solution or just a demoralizing defeat.
I've heard about that, and it does seem like a pretty clever solution. It's probably not a very popular solution among the paving contractors, for example. It would depend on the nature of this road. If this is a road that doesn't have especially heavy traffic, not a lot of heavy truck traffic, it might work from an engineering point of view.
When the eastern span of the Bay Bridge was about to open in 2013, they set aside a day for pedestrians to walk the bridge, much like people did in 1883 when the Brooklyn Bridge was opened. I was all set to bring my kids and celebrate this new massive piece of infrastructure, but because of last-minute repairs, the event was canceled, and the bridge opened to traffic with much less public involvement in the fanfare. And I really didn't get a sense that people were all that upset about it. We collectively just don't have the feeling that infrastructure warrants celebration or a sense of pride like we once did. I asked Dr. Petrosky why he thought that is.
Oh, I think the electorate, has gotten mentally lazy about the infrastructure like we have about a lot of things. We tend to focus on what's of immediate concern to us. We might worry more about our driveway than the highway that is nearby. I do think that celebratory events are important and that do help generate that pride and almost responsibility, because everybody's a part of all this. The different things that we vote for and pay for in our taxes and fees, we're really part owner of all that stuff, and we should worry about it as much as we do our neighborhood.
What do you think about the idea of reclaiming the term public works, you know, to reflect the fact that it is owned by all of us and that it is public?
That's a good idea. I haven't given it a great deal of thought, but that would make it more explicit. It's for the public and by the public in a way. Infrastructure is such a, a Latinate word that, makes it more abstract and removed. So yeah, that's an interesting idea.
Good. Well, I just thought of that.
Oh, good.
excellent. I have a proposal to send out into the world. "99% Invisible" is Sam Greenspan, Delaney Hall, Kurt Kohlstedt, Taryn Mazza, Katie Mingle, Avery Truffleman, Sharif Youssef, and me, Roman Mars. Special thanks to Oliver Assis for answering some questions about pavement I had on Twitter. We use music this week from the trifecta of 99PI All-Stars. That's OK Akumi, Lullatone, and Melodium. Buy their music and make your life better. We'll have links on our website. We are a project of 91.7 KALW San Francisco and produced on Radio Row in beautiful downtown Oakland, California.
Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need to get ready for Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/smallbusiness. When was the last time you had an oinks and giggles guarantee? Maybe you had a giggles guarantee, maybe you had an oinks guarantee, but oinks and giggles? That's reserved for one thing only, the Peppa Pig Caravan playset. If you're a parent, you're probably familiar with Peppa Pig, that delightful cartoon pig from the long-running children's series. Peppa inspires people of all ages to jump through life and its muddy puddles with enthusiasm. You can now bring Peppa into your home in physical form with the Peppa Pig Caravan playset. Instead of just seeing her on the screen, your kids can take Peppa into the home, have some imaginative play, open-ended, creative. It's good for your brain. It's good for your soul. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence since 2004. Peppa Pig is a trademark of Hasbro, created by Mark Baker and Neville Astley. If thinking about salsa and a variety of delicious flavors and heat levels makes your mouth water, you need to check out Green Mountain Gringo. With the medium salsa, you get hearty chunks of tomatoes, tomatillos, peppers, and onions in every scoop. The hot salsa brings flavorful heat to every meal, with each bite containing jalapenos, serrano peppers, and other savory herbs. Plus, they've got a hot sauce with a tangy, spicy flavor that enhances the simplest of meals. We've been going through a really big cheese quesadilla phase in our house. I don't know why. Every kid wants one. So I cracked open the medium salsa to make everyone happy, and I'll save the hot one just for me. Visit greenmountaingringo.com and start shopping. Use the store locator to find Green Mountain Gringo products, get inspiration for recipes, and purchase products using promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off. That's promo code PODCAST24. Whether you're a family vacation traveler, a business tripper, or a long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels features locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. That's what I like. I like to be within walking distance of all the stuff. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. With so many hotel brands, Choice Hotels allows you to prioritize what you need. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
You can find this show and talk about this show on Facebook and follow us all on Twitter and Instagram. Our Tumblr curates cool design stories from around the web, but the easiest way to listen to all the past episodes and read more cool stories about design is to go to our website. It's 99pi.org.
Radiotopia.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Everyone knows the holidays can take a toll on your bank account. If you're looking for creative ways to increase revenue and give your family and friends the holiday treats they deserve, then you need to get started with Squarespace's new feature, Squarespace Courses. So say you are a podcaster. Squarespace has all the tools you need to create and sell your own online course in podcasting. Start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with the powerful built-in Fluid Engine Editor. With Squarespace courses, you can create engaging content your audience will love, then simply add a paywall and set the price. Plus, you can charge a one-time fee or sell subscriptions. Turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/invisible to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/invisible.